Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, we're in for a real treat today because we have a one-hour special of our political coverage of the local election for village president in South Orange, New Jersey. I'm so pleased to have back in our studio Ms. Sheena Collum, who is currently the village trustee running for village president, and her opponent, Ms. Emily Hines, who has left a brilliant law career to come to South Orange to run for village president. So we're going to have a spirited discussion this morning that we're going to cover six topics. And those topics are public safety, small business growth, financial management and budget, which actually has two subtopics, shared services, and the Board of Education. We're going to talk about the Village Hall, the issues around whether we should sell it or maintain it. We're going to talk about citizen engagement. And last but not least, my favorite topic, relations between South Orange, New Jersey, and Seton Hall University. Sheena and Emily, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So we flipped the coin, and Ms. Emily Hines is going to go first. And our first topic is public safety.
Good morning, Darrell. Good morning, Sheena. Thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate it. A warm welcome to all of Seton Hall University. I appreciate you hosting today. Public safety. So this is an important issue here in our town, and the first thing I want to say is thank you to Chief Shalell and our South Orange Police Department. I had a chance to sit down with Chief Shalell and talk with him about public safety, and as he told me, crime is actually going down in South Orange. I laud our police department and their efforts to ensure the safety and security of our community. I see that they've got their Coffee with a Cop program, which is truly wonderful, reaching out into the community to ensure that they address the needs of each community member. My own daughter recently got a citation for good behavior. She got a gift certificate to Cold Stone Creamery because she was out one day and a police officer stopped her to remind her she was wearing her helmet while bike riding. She was absolutely thrilled about that. I think those kinds of programs are wonderful, and they help to create a sense of community and a sense of communication with our police force, and we need that. With that in mind, safety and security are issues that we can always do better on. I see a couple of key areas where we can make sure that people feel safer in our community. First, with better lighting. We look at lighting as an issue for crimes of opportunity and feelings of security, whether or not people are safer, they feel safer. And it makes sure that if someone is going to not feel safe here because they think it's too dark, they're going to go to another train station, to Maplewood or to Milburn. And we want to make sure that people feel safe here in South Orange, that they come into our village, that they shop in our stores and dine in our restaurants in the evenings. And with that, we need more adequate lighting. We do have our beautiful gas lights. We love those gas lights. They're great. But they are not high density lighting. And what we need to do is ensure that in the areas that are darkest, those walkways to remote parking places, for example, that we have better lighting. It makes people feel safer, and it creates a deterrent to crime. The other thing is installing cameras in our commercial areas. Having those cameras there deters any kind of a crime. It also creates a record when something does occur that enables prosecutors to find the perpetrators. And we want to have those tools available to our police force. With cameras, I know that there are privacy concerns, and we do want to reassure people that we won't save that material for very long periods of time, that we save them for the purpose of those prosecutions and investigations, but that we're not saving archival material, that we put in place safeguards for that, but that installation of cameras does act as a deterrent. The other issue we have is homelessness at our train station. Now, I know that with respect to that, we had a brutal winter, and we had a number of people seeking shelter at that train station. We have to create a humane solution to a problem. Homeless people can both be the perpetrator of a crime, but are much more likely to be the victim of a crime. And we need to make sure that we are protecting those people by working with private organizations like the Elizabeth Coalition or Habitat for Humanity, veterans groups to ensure that we are finding these people an appropriate place to go, especially during a brutal winter. In addition, we need to bring New Jersey Transit to the table. They are responsible for their facilities, and we need to ensure that they are living up to their responsibilities for the train station and the areas for which they have responsibility. Bring them to the table and ensure that they understand that this is about their bottom line. This is about finance. The more people that come through that train station, the better off they are. And we want to make sure that they understand and that it is in their financial interest to ensure an increased ridership along the Morrison-Essex line and ensure the safety and security of our community.
That's very good. Okay, Ms. Collum, public safety, what are your views?
Okay, I'll first start off by saying that prior to being elected to the Board of Trustees in 2013, I founded the Citizens Public Safety Committee and served in that role for about 3 years because I thought it was very important for residents to be involved with public safety issues. And so once elected, it was a privilege to serve with all of our various public safety departments and groups that support and enhance public safety for the village. I think that it's important for people to understand data. As Ms. Hines alluded to, crime has been decreasing in South Orange for about 4 years now. We've seen a 40% drop in 4 years. In the past year alone, we've seen a 24% drop in Part 1 crime. Moving forward, there's a few things that we need to do, and this is directly from my platform. First, we need to complete the replacement of all public safety radios moving to a statewide network, which is our P25 system that will save money on infrastructure while increasing interoperability between internal and external agencies and overall performance. We need to build and expand a village-wide wireless network, improving technology capabilities to prevent and solve crime. Next, we need to focus on quality of life enforcement, traffic safety, and community policing through the new Special Operations Division recently created by the village. Next, we need to leverage the village's Neighborhood Watch program to keep residents informed and make crime reporting easier and crime data more accessible. We also need to strengthen our Office of Emergency Management by training and recruiting more volunteers for our community emergency response team and launching Register Ready to identify elderly and special needs residents when in a state of emergency, and also the expansion of community relations within the police department, such as the programs like Coffee with a Cop and Positive Behavior Citations, both of which I was involved in creating with our Community Relations Bureau. I'm very proud of our police department. I think that they have done an incredible job, and much like many other municipalities, we haven't been able to invest in more headcount, so we've had to do more with less and be a little bit more efficient. One of the first things that happened when I was elected to the board was I went and met with the officers, and they told me that we had a lot of down zones throughout the community with their communications and their dispatch. I took this very seriously because it puts our officers at risk. It certainly puts the public at risk if they can't communicate with one another. And so the first item that I talked about was the public safety radios. We put out an RFP. We brought in experts to actually look at our coverage map, and what we learned was what they were telling us was accurate. So in terms of a capital budget expense that's going to be coming up for police, fire, and rescue, it's going to be the replacement of all their equipment. We have submitted for an AFG grant, assistance to firefighters grant, in the amount of $700,000, but all in, this is going to be a proposal that's going to cost close to over $1 million. To Ms. Hines' point about lighting, I couldn't agree more. I had a resident come to a public safety committee meeting and say that, you know, so many gas lights were out, and who did we need to hire or bring in to document all the gas lights? And from that, I organized about 50 volunteers who went out in one night and with the smartphone application SO Connect documented all the outages, and then we submitted them to PSE&G. Because lighting is a very expensive proposition, I think it's important for individual homeowners to leave their lights on at night. And also, through a new matching grant program that we have for the business district, each of the businesses will be able to take advantage of a match to improve the lightings on their facades in our business corridor.
Well, very good. I would love to do some follow-up questions on public safety, but this time is going to fly by, so we're going to move on to our next topic. So, Ms. Collum, small business growth, what is your very, very specific viewpoint on how we can have small business growth, and then we'll hear from Mrs. Hines.
Thank you.
Well, the first thing that I think is really important is to look at what role the municipality actually plays, and that's with our codes and ordinances. Last time I was on the program, I spoke specifically to launching a task force of stakeholders who are involved with looking at all of our policies from the municipality standpoint and what we can do better to support the small business community. I think one of the great successes that we've had was the creation of a special improvement district. I wasn't on the Board of Trustees at the time, but I think we've seen tremendous success from the South Orange Village Center Alliance. And one of the initiatives that I did create was the Seton Village Committee, formerly the Irvington Avenue Corridor Advisory Committee, by actually having business owners and property owners participate with the municipality in identifying goals, strategies, policies, incentives, et cetera. It only helps enhance our overall business community experience and what we want to see for our business corridors. Next is something that I'm very proud of is a Great Streets Matching Grant Program. I think for a lot of our small businesses, they have so much on their to-do list that some of them don't have experience in the marketing and the advertising and how they want to present themselves to the public. We're looking at creating a design review board to provide technical assistance to the small businesses on their facades and how to enhance their overall marketing strategies in attracting customers. And I think overall, the way that retail and shops, the world is changing. And so we have to be very innovative in how we're using our spaces in all of our commercial corridors. And if you remember the success of the pop-up shop that happened, the 360 or 350 rather, one from New Jersey that came into our downtown, it was really amazing to see a space transformed into multiple uses for people who were selling jewelry or art. And I think that co-working spaces, cooperative, you know, retail spaces in our downtown would really enhance some of the things that are the buildings that are vacant right now. Between all of those and also an aggressive approach to business recruitment, which is really, really important. I've been saying in my meet and greets with folks that the Village Center did a study that showed that we have $180 million retail leakage occurring in our community, which is based on, you know, our households, our average incomes, what we spend, and what's currently available in all of our business corridors. And I don't think it's enough to say, you know, we hope something comes in that we want. I think we have to aggressively pursue it by directing financial resources, personnel resources into going after things that people really want to see, which is primarily food. People like their food, gifts and boutique stores, crafts, hardware, home improvement, and we now have the data available to be able to aggressively approach these types of offerings to bring them into our town and also dissuade people from trying to open something that we know wouldn't be supported by our direct community.
Very good. Mrs. Hines?
All right. So I think that something that we need to focus here on is that I went out and spoke with business owners, people who have recently opened businesses in our town, and the very first thing that they have all said to me was that it isn't transparent. They wanted to come here, they picked other places to go, or they struggled to open their business here in South Orange because the process is not transparent. Step one, we need a roadmap. We need a spreadsheet that shows you exactly what it takes to open a business. If there are 27 steps that a particular type of business has to go through, and certainly we're not going to treat a restaurant and a boutique the same way, we have health and safety codes for a reason. Everyone has to follow the rules, but they need to know exactly what those rules are from the very beginning. Entrepreneurs have a bottom line they have to meet. They have loans they have to get. They have finances. They have projections they have to make. And they need to know if they can open on St. Patrick's Day or if it's going to take another 6 months and they're not opening until the 4th of July, because those are important line items. We need to get out of the way of good business people here. We need to not overregulate, and we need to ensure that we have a clear, transparent roadmap to opening a business here, that we welcome those people. The harder we make it, the more often they're going to open their store in Montclair or Maplewood instead. We have empty storefronts here. We have new retail space coming in. Let's welcome those entrepreneurs. We have smart, savvy business people in our town, and they want to open their stores here. Let's let them. Let's get out of the way of good business people. The other issue I think that we have is that we need to make sure that we have a place for those customers to park. We have traffic and a parking crisis from 4 to 7 in our town each day. And without the ability to come here with ease and find reliable parking, people are going to take their business elsewhere. Certainly, people who live in the community within a walking distance may very well stay. Frankly, we need to ensure that we have created a destination here in South Orange. Are we pulling in people from Livingston and West Orange and Maplewood and Montclair to come to our boutiques and restaurants? And they can't do that if they don't have a place to park. The parking here is extremely inconsistent. It's tough to find a spot, but when you do, is it a 30-minute spot? Is it a one-hour spot? Is it a three-hour spot? Your quarter doesn't equal the same thing across the board. Having a confusing system, having a really tough time, isn't going to welcome people here. Those customers can't shop here if they can't park here. We also have a traffic problem. From 4 to 7, we have huge numbers of cars coming through a bottleneck in our town. We need a traffic study. We need to find a way to better handle the infrastructure that we have with the increasing numbers of cars. Those numbers of cars are not going down. We have 215 units going in at 3rd and Valley right now. Those people will have cars. They will commute to their jobs. Maybe not all of them. They're going to be in this transit hub. We are a transit community. Some of them will walk to that train station, and that's great. But we can't count on the fact that all of them will. Many of them are going to have jobs in our community or in the surrounding parts of the state. And we need to ensure that we handle those traffic issues, that increasing traffic problem. Because if you can't drive into our town, you can't go to restaurants here. You can't eat here.
You raised some interesting points, and I think it would be very helpful if we had a little back and forth on this particular topic. Sheena, in regards to the roadmap to opening a business, from your standpoint, being that you're a village trustee, what has the village done to provide that roadmap, or is there a roadmap for these small businesses?
No, as I mentioned, shortly after being elected, I announced this task force, and so what Ms. Hines is referencing is currently being done. We're meeting regularly after we're finished doing the full scrubbing of the codes. Our goal is to create something similar to what Montclair has, which is opening a business in South Orange, which provides the checklist, which provides a very clear understanding of the rules and regulations, the existing uses, the parking requirements for specific businesses, and literally we're looking at a document that's about 10 to 15 pages long, rather than having somebody have to go to our village website and have to scrub, you know, through pages and pages of what they can and can't do. I think through the investment of a special improvement district, we have somebody at the helm right now who understands customer service. And very shortly after he came in, he got on board with recognizing that it is a very challenging environment for people to navigate. And it's by being a part of this process with small businesses, with the property owners, and with elected officials, and people who want to support the business environment, we're moving through that process right now. We're meeting regularly, and we hope that that will be the product of our work within the next few months.
Okay. Emily, any response?
I do want to mention that we have the CID, we have the SOVCA, we have organizations in place that have been doing this for a long time. We don't need additional committees. What we need is to zero in on the fact that these are entrepreneurs, and they know what they're doing. They are smart people, and we need to let them get their job done.
I have a question for both of you in regards to small business. It just hit me. Have we thought about working with Rutgers or Seton Hall in regards to their entrepreneur programs to talk about how we can encourage entrepreneurs to come to South Orange? Sheena, I'll let you go first.
I was actually going to touch on that a little bit when we got to the partnership with Seton Hall University. And the answer is yes. Leveraging the university is really important for our commercial corridors. And I have a very specific example. When I started the Irvington Avenue Corridor Advisory Committee, the first stop that I made was the Stillman School of Business and meeting with the dean there. And she directed me to the Market Research Center, which has been very successful. And we leveraged their resources on campus to provide student learning experiences and also at the same time get value for the community from all their wealth of knowledge, really passionate students. And so the partnership between us and Seton Hall is incredibly important. Secondly, and I've found these models from, I believe it's University of Washington, where they allow their School of Business to start, open, and operate spaces throughout the community. based on market research, based on the preferences of the spending power of the community, and to be able to forge a partnership between us and them where they are actually operating these various businesses, maybe even one or two, as a student learning experience, but also giving them a much greater presence in our commercial corridors. And I think we need an anchor from the university as well, in whether it's Irvington Avenue, Valley Street, or South Orange Avenue, and preferably that would be their bookstore. To actually have a large presence of Seton Hall in the community. So I think there's a lot of opportunities between us, Seton Hall, and the research that they do to benefit our businesses.
And Emily, your thoughts on university involvement? Because we also have Rutgers. I'm affiliated with Rutgers as well, as I went through their Entrepreneurs Pioneers Initiative program. And with the empty spaces that we have, it seems like we could get some of these new entrepreneurs in those empty spaces.
I agree. I think if there are entrepreneurs that want to come here, we welcome them here. Absolutely. That I have never seen a community more distanced from its university, the university that makes its home here, than between South Orange and Seton Hall. And I think we need to reach across and build that bridge to create a sense of community for the students and the faculty here at Seton Hall and ensure that they have a place in our village. Likewise, we need the community and the stakeholders within the community to feel comfortable with the presence of Seton Hall. And as part of that, welcoming entrepreneurs, welcoming the business people that we have as part of Seton Hall into our community is a great thing. By the same token, I think it's important not to put all your eggs in one basket. Students tend to come here for a short period of time and move on. And the proximity that we have to major metropolitan areas tends to be a bigger pull to that student body. Certainly having a small village feel, we have a diverse community here, and not just racially diverse, but also we have an incredible aging community here in our village. And we need to make sure that we are supporting businesses that support each of those parts of our community. Can we zero in on professional offices to help support our aging community who need medical services? We have corridors in our area where we forbid the opening of professional services, and yet we have empty storefronts. So what about taking a look at rolling back that overregulation and ensuring that we have fewer empty storefronts and businesses that can provide important services to our aging community, like medical facilities, legal services? Those are people that create jobs in our community, and those jobs are local. Job creators support and fund our tax base. We need those kinds of businesses here as well.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Darrell Country, your host for Leadership. We are here with our Election 1 Hour special. I want to thank Brother Greg Cellini, whose show, Thank God for Monday, is preempted this week. He will return next week. We are here with Village Trustee Sheena Collum, who is running for Village President. We're here also with Mrs. Hines, Miss Emily Hines, who is running for Village President as well. Our next topic is going to be on financial management and budget. And as I indicated at the top of the program, we have two subtopics, shared services and the Board of Education. And I really want to make sure that we do not commingle those and we deal with those separately so that folks can hear our respective candidates' views on those topics. So if I remember our coin flip, Sheena, you went last, so now, Emily, it's your turn to go first in regards to financial management and budget. What is your platform on financial management and budget?
I think that it is important to note that our debt in South Orange has been going down. Our village administrator and our current board of trustees are working hard. And look, at the end of the day, I know that many people here like my opponent, Sheena, and that's great. She does have 2 more years left on her term. And ultimately, we have to work together on solving what is a huge issue for us in this town. Financial management and budget is a massive topic, but I would say we look at our assets. There are two kinds of assets we have in this town. We have concrete assets. That includes our tax base, our business district, and private investment. And we have intangible assets, our cultural and historic assets, the skilled volunteers we have in our community. And we need to bring both of those types of assets together so that we can support the financial health of our community. With that in mind, I know that it is very hard for people in our community to get access to financial projections here. We have that budget tool online, and I have to say that I think it's the 2014 budget that I accessed without having to do an open records request. And it is our 2012 debt statement that I was able to access. It might have been 2013, online as tools. We don't have projections out there. We need public projections and transparency in this process. We have brilliant minds in our community, and they want to be a part of this process. They want to be a part of the process of creating financial stability here in our community. We have to let them. But with that in mind, you know, we have a huge debt. The document I looked at said $52 million, and that's a big number. We need to ensure that the costs we have in our town, as they compare to those line items on assets, that those come out to a better balance. If it costs $33 million to run the town and we don't have that as our assets, then we're going to be more in debt. We need to make sure that we spend very carefully. And with that in mind, we have to look at some of those line items. You know, we know that the Board of Education has their budget. They recently released it, $123 million. That exceeds the 2% cap. What is it that we can do to alleviate the financial burden that that places on our homeowners? How can we better share in services with the Board of Ed? So, for example, we look at after-school programs. We have YouthNet on our budget line item, and they have the YMCA on theirs. Can we share? Can we reduce both of those line items by ensuring that we have community engagement? We know that the Board of Ed has opened up the Montrose Preschool, the Early Education Center. We run a preschool through the Baird. Are we engaging and sharing? Is there overlap of services that we can zero in order to reduce both of those line items? Likewise, we've got other line items on our own budget, you know, and it may be a lower percentage here, but we're looking at insurance costs. Our insurance costs are over $1 million. Can we examine those costs carefully, ensure we haven't missed opportunities to join with a consortium of other towns to lower those premium rates? Have we looked at whether we can reduce our GL in favor of umbrella coverage, which tends to be less expensive, without losing what we really know we need, and that is solid coverage for when something goes wrong? We have to look at our legal services very carefully. If we're paying more than $200,000 a year in legal costs, why is that? Are we engaging with sharing with neighboring communities who are similarly situated? Can we share? Can we engage in project-based billing instead of retainer and hourly billing? Can we look at auditing those legal costs and ensuring that we investigate when we are choosing not to sue, like we did in the case of East Orange Water? We're choosing not to sue, but we're spending huge amounts of money on that investigation. Let's make sure we're making the right choices. IT services, we had that $16,800, and then we've got another RFP out there. The Rehabilitation District, if we grant more abatements and pilots, we're not supporting our tax base.
Okay. Ms. Collum, what is your view and platform in regards to financial management and budget?
Sure. Last time I was on the program, I said one of the things I was very proud of was doing what I said I would do, and that was strong financial management and fiscal discipline. And so I'm very proud of voting on the two lowest municipal tax increases in well over 15 years. We are controlling spending at roughly 0.67% increases annually, which I think is really incredible given that a lot of our fixed costs, they go up much higher than 2%. So we're doing the things necessary to make sure that we control the spending. And there's a few ways that we do that. First, you've got to make sure that you can generate new revenue for your municipality, whether that's through development, redevelopment, I'd like to say responsible development or redevelopment.